Today we're going to go to Psalms 40, and I'm going to read verses from Psalms 44 to start out, and it's Psalms 44, verse 4, 5, and 6. Thou art my King, O God, command deliverances for Jacob. Now we know that God had delivered him many times, but God never changes. Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through your name will we tread them under that rise up against us, for I will not trust in my bow. That means don't trust in your own strength. Don't come against anyone. Don't come against a trial, whatever it is. Each one of you have to name your own. But don't use your own strength, and don't put confidence in the flesh in anybody else, because you will get hurt. Neither shall my sword save me, but thou hast saved us from our enemies and hast put them to shame that hated us. So now I want to go to Psalms 40. And through this whole psalm, you're going to hear about David, but I want you to also think about Jesus, the Son of God, and yourself. Because we are to be found in Christ. David many times has been delivered from trials, and he had to wait. He called upon the Lord. And this one, I could really relate to this. It was his praise for an answered prayer. When would God answer this prayer? But did he really believe when you pray to God, do you believe that he is? That God is who he says he is. And God is watching over us. He's not sleeping. He's not slumbering. He knows everything that's going on. I just want to delight to do his will, whatever he would have me to do. I waited patiently. And when I saw waited patiently, if you look up waited, it means I waited. And while I was waiting, I waited. You keep waiting. You're waiting upon the Lord. You're not going to get ahead of him, not going to try to fix the problem, but you're going to come to places that you can't fix it, because look where he was. I waited patiently. Are we doing it patiently? You see, measure it by the word of God. Measure your life by God's word. The fruit of the Spirit, there is patience. Patience is a virtue. It's a virtue of having strength in him and him alone. The ability to even wait on anything, but to do it patiently. When I'm doing it patiently, I believe that as he waited, he did it patiently. He did it because he knew God was going to answer him. God would come through like he always had before, but maybe not the same way. Sometimes we put God in a box and we think he can only do things one way. No, we got to get out of that box. We need to let God be God and let him have full control of everything that's going on. And that means your trials too. You're not going to fix them, but I'm telling you, you can rejoice in the midst of them. Your countenance may not look like it. But what is your heart doing? When I heard the word of God in our class, it felt like lava inside me, just bubbling and bubbling and bubbling. It wanted to just bubble over. I couldn't even explain what was going on in here, but I could just feel bubbling, continuous. And it was in my heart. He waited patiently for the Lord, and that's what I had been doing, waiting on the Lord. What to do, Lord? What to say, Lord? But to handle it with wisdom, to walk in the light as he is in the light. That's the only way you're ever going to have fellowship one with another. We must walk in the light. A lot of people say, well, Lord, give me more light. No, you haven't even walked in the light I've given you. Walk in that light. If you're walking in the Spirit and you've been quickened by the Spirit, we should be living and walking in the Spirit. Then you don't have to worry about what the flesh is going to do. But I think it's always a reminder to us. And you'll see even David through this psalm. He knows his frailties. He knows he still has this body. But he doesn't have to yield to it. And that's what God is doing. God is doing amazing work. So as I looked, he said, I was waiting patiently, Who was I waiting for? A friend? A pastor? A teacher? Your mother? Your father? No, I was waiting patiently for the Lord. You see, he had done it aforetime. He knew he would come in for him. And that's how he did it patiently. And he said, I waited patiently for the Lord. And that is L-O-R-D in caps. And he said, and he, who? The Lord. He inclined unto me. He bent his ear down to bend the ear. And he said, he did this. And he heard my cry. He did. Okay? He was crying. He was praying. He asked for an answer, Lord. He wanted wisdom, not to hurt people, not to get back at people, not to walk this way and walk. You know, there are so many ways we can ask amiss. We ask it upon the things of lust of our flesh. No, we need to come and ask God according to your perfect will. I delight to do your will, O God. That's what you've been teaching us. And he said, he brought me up. Once he listened and he heard my cry, it was him. He brought me up also. See, also, he brought me up. He listened. He inclined his ear. He heard my cry. He brought me up also. Out of, and I love how Jean has always taught us, out of, but into. Don't leave the into. We get our eyes on the horrible pit. We get our eyes on our suffering. And God this week has made it so real to me. He's taken us a step deeper. Stop thinking about your trial, your suffering, your pain that you're going through. No, it's an opportunity to magnify the grace of God. Well, Lord, but the grace wasn't there. So what did you do? You wait patiently because you know I'll answer you. If you're getting a lesson, wait patiently. I told my friend last night, I go, you know, I still don't have my lesson. And she goes, you'll get it. And I said, well, I know one thing. Whew, when you're in a pit, only he can lift you out. And I heard it. I said, it's going to be Psalms 40. But it was God. It was God that did it. He brought me up out of that horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Now watch. He brought me up out of. He brought me out of. And he says, when he said the miry clay, that miry clay is slippery. There is no standing there. There's no way out. Now think, if you just got in a clay pit and it's deep and you get down there and it's above your head and all around you and in the bottom is miry clay. It's slippery. It's slimy. There is no standing there. You can try all you want. I've been around clay. In Georgia, that's what everything is. You get that clay on your clothes, it's one of the hardest things to get out. But the blood. But as I looked upon this, and he talked about the miry clay and that horrible pit, when I began to look on that, I remembered what Jean has been telling us, and I know it's God. He said, take my yoke upon you. All you that are laboring, worried about anything, I don't care what it is. Oh God, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? He knows what he's going to do. Rest in the Lord. Because otherwise, if I'm trying to think of how he's going to do it and what he's going to do, what if it don't turn out the way I thought it was going to turn out? See, that is how we have to look at our Father. He's going and he's going to do everything in his time and in his way. As I thought of Mary, the Holy Spirit took me to her and she said, how shall this be? Mary, it's not going to be of you. It's going to be from the power of God from on high, the highest power. When you go through a trial and you may say, how? What are you going to do, Lord? Will you just have people just take it and walk on? Sometimes he does. But I believe that in the midst of a trial or a horrible pit that you cannot deliver yourself out of. And I was so thankful for Ray's son because he had gone through a like experience. And there's no way you in yourself cannot get out of it. You don't understand it, but God does, and he's watching. But he's going to work it out to where you're able to rejoice in this pit that he brought you out of. The first pit was he was my redeemer. He brought me out of what this, he's the potter, I'm the clay. Well, he takes that clay. He's the one who does it if you've ever seen the potter. He's doing the work. But I tell you, when God does something, he will show you how to rejoice in the midst of a trial. He said, it's an opportunity. Stop thinking it's against you. It's against me. It's an opportunity for you to call on me to show the grace of God to my people and to those in the world. But first of all, the body of Christ, because Moses made intercession as Christ is interceding for us. But Christ is in us. We are interceding for our body as if it was us going through the suffering. Oh, we forget that. Or if it was something about us. No, it's us as one body. That is unity. That is true love. Moses said, just take him out. If they weren't going to, these are your people. Think about that when you're praying. These are your people, Lord. You know them better than we know ourselves. You know everything about them. Jesus bought them with his blood. They're precious in your sight. I'm praying, Lord, as if it were me. Help me, Lord, to overcome in these areas of my life. It's them too. It's our life as one body. It may be different in each person, but I tell you what, whatever he's delivered you of, he did it by God's grace. That's what you're supposed to be magnifying. That's what you're supposed to be showing. When we're in the house of God, when we're in our homes, whatever, on your job, you are there as an opportunity to yield to the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, and magnify my grace. How I showed you grace, you show them my grace. It's not your grace, Benny. It's not their grace. It becomes theirs when it's revealed through the power of the Holy Ghost. He reveals this mighty power. It's the Spirit's power. And I tell you what, when it's the love of God shed abroad in your heart, it will be by the Holy Ghost. It won't be me working up this fake love or me working up these fake words. It'll be the true substance. It'll be the real word of God deep from the heart that was bubbling, that was excited now. In a trial? Yes. In the midst of it. Hadn't even been fixed yet. But oh, the word of God, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. It comes forth. And let me tell you, this is the open end of a sword right here. This is the open end of a sword. Look it up in concordance, the mouth, the lips. That's where the word of God, the abundance of the heart begins to speak. This is where people are going to be built up. They're going to know a true inheritance. They're going to know a true love and joy and patience. Measure it by the word of God. Sit back and say, did this magnify my love? My joy, my peace, my patience, did it magnify the long-suffering and forbearing of the saints? What did it magnify? Each one of us have to take that for us. I have to say, did it magnify love from you, Penny? Any forbearance going on in your heart, Penny? Patience, any of that happening, Penny? That's God. That is him working in you. Jump and be thankful. God is working in the hearts of his people. He's making us what we want it to be transformed to the very image of his son, to be more like Christ. I am so thankful for his goodness, his holiness. Every one of these things started with love. Our whole life is steps of God's love. And that's what's going to be shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. But it's going to start here. It said, he took me out of, and guess what he did? He set my feet upon a rock. from slimy, no standing, no stability. He took me after he heard me out of that horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And why did he do it? He took me out of and brought me to, he set my feet on a rock. When I had no standing of my own, when I had no strength, when I had nothing to stand in, it was just sinking, that it was like taking you deeper. He put my feet on a solid rock, a sure foundation, and he let me rejoice in that. And it says he established my goings. Do you know what that means when he establishes your goings? He's securing you. Oh, the establishing was securing. The goings was, he refers to your steps and to your walk. That's how he establishes your going. He gets your walk in whatever you do in the right way. Those feet are shod with the preparation of peace. They're that foot that rightly divides the word of God. And he's been showing so deep into this. I mean, it goes so much deeper than what we actually see. And I wish I could take it out and just reveal it, but I can't. He will do it. God will do it for you. He has to reveal this love to each of us by the power of the Holy Ghost. The natural man does not understand spiritual things. He gets duped in it. He gets taken down. Some people they walk in their flesh. They don't even think about it. And then there'll be a time in your life you're going to begin to grow and you're going to go, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, forgive me, I shouldn't have done that. And they go, see, I'm always like that. And I go, see, you're growing. Stop looking at that. See, you're growing. Now you care a little bit about what you're saying and what you're doing and how you're living. And am I out in the world playing around, or am I in the church enjoying the things of God? You won't care until God does a work in your heart. He'll make you hunger and thirst after righteousness. But he takes you, he does all this. He, the one he was waiting on. Look at all he did when he waited. Set him on a rock. Established his goings. Now he put a new song in my heart. In my mouth. Right? So if I'm going to sing out of the abundance of my heart, how much do you love him? Because out of your heart, your mouth is going to sing that new song. You can sing a grace and glory song and sing it, but you can sing it with grace in your heart, and that's what is heard, and it comes out of your heart as praise unto him for a new experience. I remember the old rugged cross. Who was hanging on there? Until I sang that song over and over and over. And one day, sitting there, I heard, the dearest and the best. But those words, that's the Holy Spirit. He just rests upon those words. And he said, when you see I'm resting in those words, I want you to search it out. There's something for you to get out of this. Well, he's just doing so much. He put a new song in my mouth. Even the praise unto our God. Now, your life is a testimony. Your life is a testimony. Many are going to see it. Many are going to fear. And many shall trust in the Lord. And I think that fear is, I want to know. I want to know what's going on. Humbly bow before him. Many are watching your life. And if you really even care, the first thing you're going to think of when you go through a trial is, oh my goodness. Some of you, and I know me, your faces will tell it. Your countenance. Well, why do you not want people to see your countenance so down? That's pride. Pure pride. We are not to fake our walk. It must be real. You know why? Because there are others that get down. But when they hear your testimonies of how he lifted me out of the deep miry clay and he settled my feet, settled it. He's settling us. He's establishing us. He's strengthening us. They're going to see it and they're going to trust in the Lord. Think of the trials Daniel went through, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Think of all those trials in the Word of God. The king, were they watching? Yes, they were. And the king said, bow unto his God. Bow. Not unto that fake God. Blessed is that man, and I like this, that man. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. You're blessed. He's going to keep blessing you. You're a new man. He knows we want to grow. He knows if we don't want to grow, because we need to take thought of it. Why are you loving me so, Lord? There are people that will say that. It's because he loves you with an everlasting love. We may leave him, but he won't leave us. He won't. He said, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. And look at this. The Lord is his trust. He doesn't respect not the proud. I think the many is the pride. It's the few. Don't you want to be in the rib company, just a small place? The Lord is his trust, respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. If they're not telling the truth, and that can be with our life, our walk. If it's not true, it doesn't measure up to his word, then it's a lie. We want nothing to do with that. Many, O Lord, now watch what he says. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works that you have done. Your thoughts, now get this, his thoughts toward you, toward us. He thinks about us. We're in his thoughts. Your thoughts about us. Let's see, oh, hold on. Many, O God, are they wonderful works which thou hast done, and your thoughts which are toward us, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. More than can be numbered. Well, I think the enemies, he said, are coming against you. 2 Chronicles 20. Lord, there's so many, I don't know what to do. It's one thing after another. But my eyes are upon you. I'm looking to you, God, because I know you're able to do this. Now I love this. He goes, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, but my ears. Okay? David had to realize it's not sacrifice and offering. God wants obedience. God just wants us to love him and yield. Obey my voice. Because when we do, we're coming into this place of security. His word is a shelter. There's calmness there. There's growth there. Everything you're longing for is in the word. And what's the one thing Satan wants to keep you out of? The word. He'll let you find your satisfaction. I'll just take me. Flowers, this, the garden, the knit, and another thing, and the grandchildren, and that. They're all wonderful. We delight in them, but they are not the real delight. We must have him as our highest delight, the greatest of all. All these things are just to enjoy. They're to enjoy. So how do you take the things he's given to you to enjoy? What do you do with them? He said, but your ears, my ears you've opened. Think of that servant that wants to yield to him. We want to go his way. The servant that was in Exodus, he was going to be with him forever. He was going to walk, he was going to be his servant. But they put an awl in his ear. And I thought, boy, Lord, that had to hurt. And then I got to thinking, he that hath an ear, just because you hear something doesn't mean it's going to be an easy road. Sometimes you hear and it pierces you. But we must be willing, Lord, I delight. And if I don't, you will give me the desires of my heart. I want you to be top priority in my life. Burnt offering, a sin offering, that was not required. Jesus gave it. A body thou hast prepared for me. Now we sit and people today think, well, they have to offer up this and offer up that. Offer up Jesus. Oh, he was my sin offering. And then it's like it becomes ours by experience. Burnt offering, it's all unto God by experience. And it will be your walk. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Even when Jesus walked on this earth, he preached to all those who come around him. He told them. He continuously told them the right way. Some followed, some didn't. I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. Why? And when I saw lips, I looked it up. And it led me to mouth, the open edge of a sword. It's the open end of that sword. It's sharp. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. You see, I didn't hide it in here that no one could see his righteousness, his goodness. Oh, no, Lord, I spoke of you to them. I let your righteousness, I didn't hide it away within my heart. I declared your faithfulness. I told them of your faithfulness. I told them about your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. He knows they need it just as much as he needs it. But he knows where he got it from. Withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and thy truth continuously preserve me. For innumerable evils, every time I read that, I think, but the abundance of grace. Innumerable evils have compassed me about. My iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. You think about that. The iniquity, all of that was laid upon Christ. And he had it all. There's been just one incident, and I bow my head. But he said, it's a suffering way. It's going to be a suffering way. Go to all the other churches. They're going to tell you, you don't have to suffer. You don't have to suffer. Well, I think Paul, he did. He said, when I'm weak, he was weak. He needed God's strength. He needed God's ability. He said, I need him in all things. But that's how he learned to give thanks in all things, because it's all him. I love it. Oh, I can't even look up. There are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart faileth me. Even David. He knew his frailties, but he knew where the strength came from, just like Mary had to learn. It's not you going to do this, Mary, this impossible thing. It's me. But I love this. But please, be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me, O Lord. Make haste to help me. Be pleased. You know why? I think with my life, your life, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But when God sees you standing and believing him for this, he's so pleased to deliver you. He wants to deliver. He has taken us. He's showing us in practicality. It's already been done provisionally. But he is establishing my going, my steps, my walk. He's making it an experience in your life. That way you can sing a new song with every experience you go through. Be pleased, Lord. Deliver me. Help me. He knows without him, he could do nothing. Let them be ashamed that doth confoundeth together, that seek after my soul and want to destroy it. Think of Jesus. If they don't accept Christ and his way, they can take that judgment upon themselves. And then, I don't know, when I see this, because a lot of times, maybe I haven't got a big revelation yet, but I always think, ugh, I don't want them to have to go through that. But I do, in love, because I want them to know that's shameful, that's not good. It's not good, and it's not good when I do walk in the flesh. It's the same thing. But I don't want them to have to be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. It's like, oh, Lord, please, I know that they're going to reap what they sow, but can you just give them that grace like you do each one of us? Because we fail every day. We can do something wrong. Every day. No, nobody wants to talk about that. I'm holy, I'm a Christian, and I don't do anything wrong. I beg to differ with you because the Word of God says it right here. You will not sin because of the righteousness that's in you, but your flesh can still yield to the flesh. We must walk in the Spirit. Then you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then he says, let them be desolate for a reward of their shame, because you do reap what you sow. That's the Word of God, really. That say unto me, aha, aha. Do you know what that means? They're mocking you. What about Jesus when he was on the cross? Ha! I thought he was a savior, a deliverer, a king. What? What's he doing hanging on a cross? If he can't save himself, you really think he's going to save you? You think that person? Oh, my goodness. You preach Christ. Look at you. You're not walking in him. That's mockery. And in the last days, there will be people mocking one another when we should be upholding each other, building up each other in the grace of God. And I'm telling you, I know it's a growth, but I want this more than anything in my life. I want to build up my children, my grandchildren. If I sit and tear them down all the time and look at every failure they have, you really think they're going to stand up securely? No. They're going to stand up and go, I must be a real failure. No. You keep loving them the way he tells you to, what he says, not you. I guarantee you his love will never fail. It'll never fail. I have watched it. I have seen it. I've heard the Word of God peeping out to you, kind of going, I really have been listening, but I had one of my grandkids, and I won't mention their name because they get mad if I do. I was in Colorado. One time I played and sang my guitar with my guitar in Colorado, only once. And this young man, it was a boy, came to my house and he goes, Nana, call me. I said, call you? You're right here. Call me on my phone. So I did. And here's this woman singing, it's time we the people stand up for what is right. And it was me singing on his phone. I go, where did you get that? He goes, oh, I'll never tell. You were listening online in Colorado, weren't you? Ah, you snuck up on me. The whole time you thought they were out here doing this and doing that, and God's word would not return void, he was listening on that line. And he heard his grandma sing, and he put it for his ringer on his phone. I was elated. I was like, oh, my God, this is worth it all. It's so worth it when you just see the Lord loves him. He's still working on him. Where he'll have to go, what he has to do to get through to him. That's how I want to pray. Thy will be done, O Lord. Let them be desolate. And then verse 16 and 17 are my favorite. Let all those that seek thee rejoice thee and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord is magnified. If I take this word right here and I go to my house, I'm going to get a magnifying glass and I'm going to go, now, think about this. I've loved you with an everlasting love. And you take that magnifying glass and you look at it and you pull it up. It's going further that way, deeper. And it's getting, the love of God is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Magnifying the grace of God to us. It looks so much bigger than it ever was. It's always been big. He just made it come to you in a clear way so now you can see it. But look at this. He said, I want all of them to seek you, be glad in you, love your salvation, let the Lord be magnified. But I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. He's thinking about me today. He's thinking about you. He loves you. He goes, because we're poor and needy. And if we don't know that, he'll certainly show you. We're a people of need. Without him, we're nothing. I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Oh, Lord, you are my help. And you are my deliverer. Make no tarrying, oh my God. You see where his trust is? And David didn't learn that overnight. David made so many mistakes and blunders, oh my goodness. And if I didn't see the mistakes of what Paul did, what Moses did, what all these different ones did, what outweighed all that? The love of God. It was the love of God. And I'm so thankful that we've been called by his grace to reveal his Son in me. He wants to be magnified in your life that others may see Jesus in you. Let's all stand.